The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
So we're joined by David Coleman, clinical psychologist, adjunct associate professor in the School of Psychology in UCD, because David is starting a tour of talks around the country addressing one thing in particular, which is anxiety in children and anxiety in adolescents, because according to him, he has seen it be such a prevalent issue in the children and families that he has been dealing with. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Anton. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Is that a fair description? It is something that you are seeing becoming endemic.
Well, I mean, anxiety is certainly rising, and the numbers of children and teenagers who report that they feel anxious is rising. I think we have a similar kind of rise in, I think, children and teenagers considering that they have the condition anxiety. You know, I get a lot of teenagers. I mean, I work mostly with teenagers now, and a lot of them will come in and say, oh, I have anxiety, almost like I have COVID or I have some other kind of illness. And I'm not sure that's not necessarily representative. I'm not sure that the rates of anxiety disorder are rising as highly as the numbers of children and teenagers who report that they feel anxious. And I think in many ways, it would be great if we could come back to thinking about anxiety as just a feeling, and that we could, you know, give that message, I suppose, strongly to children and teenagers, because then they mightn't be quite so stressed out about the fact that they feel anxious at times, because I think feeling anxious is quite a normal, natural, and indeed helpful thing to be able to feel at times. And I do think it's become a little bit pathologized over the last number of years. And I think if we could move away from that again and just get back to this idea that, yeah, look, of course you're going to feel anxious at times. There's lots of things that will naturally leave you feeling anxious. And so, you know, there are things that you can do then that you can regulate and manage that anxiety.
To what extent is a lack of control over the world in which you live a driving factor in that? Because I imagine if you're a young person now, there is so much, and probably so much more now than there once was, that you can't control but are subject to. That has to be a factor, is it?
Yeah, I think it's always unpredictability is always going to raise anxiety. And I think we see that for children, for teenagers, for adults. And so when we know what to expect, we can be a little bit prepared. But when we don't, we have to be on alert and ready for what might be, you know, something that might be changing. And I think, of course, then there's huge amounts of unpredictability in the world now. There are some major threats within the world now that I think are, again, really widely publicized. And so that means that children and teenagers are probably very aware of them. So things like the wars that are happening, things like COVID when it was there, you know, anytime there's anything about the environment, I think that, again, that's really, you know, on young people's minds. And so I think, yes, all this stuff is happening on a global level, but then there's probably a lot of stuff happening at a very personal individual level as well. And I think, but that's always been the case. I'm not sure that children now are any less in control than they were. I mean, I don't know what your experiences were growing up, but I certainly never felt like I had much control over my world. You know, you were told to do things and you just went off and you did what you were told to do. So I think that element of things hasn't changed that much. But certainly in terms of the way the media, you know, is so available to kids now, I think that's very different for them. And that certainly, I think, adds to their experiences of anxiety.
I assume, therefore, that the answer is sort of the alcoholic's prayer: give me the strength to change the things I can, the courage to accept the things I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. Easy to say, difficult to do, particularly if you're dealing with all of the hormones that go with growing up and all the pressures that go with growing up.
Yeah. And I think if you can certainly see anxiety as just another feeling, well, it does help, because then you can also say, you know, well, the feeling is going to come, but it's also going to go again. And so we know that. I mean, you know, you never hear of anybody saying, oh, I have happiness, as in I have this condition of happiness and it just, you know, carries with me in every circumstance. So we certainly will feel happy at times. We'll feel sad at times, you know, just like we will feel anxious at times. And then there's other times when we're not going to feel anxious. And I think, again, if children, teenagers get that message strongly from the adults around them, that this is just a transient experience, that it's not indicative of some kind of lifelong problem, but it's just a temporary feeling that they have, that is probably in most circumstances very situational. It's to do with, you know, what's happening in the child's life or what it is that the child is expected to do in the next almost immediate moment. And I think those are the kinds of things that will naturally then often pique our worries and pique our nervousness about things. And it's about seeing that it's not necessarily something hugely problematic, just another thing to be dealt with.
To what extent is one's emotional state a conscious choice and controllable? And to what extent are you just a victim of it?
So I think we have certainly the capacity to regulate our feelings, which is not necessarily that we can. I often think of it a little bit like an oven. We don't get a choice, though, about whether the oven gets switched on or off. But we do get to control the temperature at which the oven is then on. And so, you know, life will happen and that will generate a feeling. So it might be that we feel disappointed. It might be that we feel angry about something. It might be that we feel happy, sad, whatever it is. And just the same, when we feel anxious, we do have some level of control over the intensity of that anxiety experience. And certainly when I'm working with teenagers and children as well, I will often get them to try and give me, you know, a figure between 0 and 10 to indicate the intensity of the feeling that they're having. And so if they're saying that, you know, they're feeling anxiety and it's up at an 8, 9 or 10, well, that's probably overwhelming. That's probably the kind of feeling that's debilitating in the moment, that you're not able to think straight. You can't really proactively do an awful lot to help yourself. And so the first goal typically with anxiety is to try to bring the intensity that feeling down so that it's maybe a 4, 5 or 6. And once it comes down to 4, 5 or 6, that means that the child feels anxious, but they're still now in a better place that they can actually continue to do whatever it is that they might need to do. And ultimately, to use the American expression, you know, we have to get kids to the point that they can feel the fear and do it anyway. And I think when we can get them, you know, to have strategies maybe that might regulate the physicality of the anxiety, because that's often the easiest place to start. So if they can bring their heart rate down, if they can, you know, slow down or switch off the adrenaline that's probably coursing through their body, that then allows their more kind of conscious, rational part of their brain to click back into gear. And then maybe they might be able to use things like positive self-talk or different strategies that they can use to just remind themselves of their ability to cope, rather than perhaps their fear that they're not going to cope. And so that's how we move kids, you know, into kind of going ahead, trying the thing, hopefully then experiencing that they're able for whatever it is that they need to be doing. And that gives them the sense of achievement. And that can be reinforcing then for the future as well in a very positive way. So, yeah, so we have to give them some kind of skills and strategies to help them be able to relax a little bit. Once they can do that, then they can switch their brain back on, and then they can maybe persuade themselves that they're actually going to be in a position to do the thing. And then they do it, and then they get the reward and the reinforcement. And hopefully that means then that the next time they're facing the same situation, they're just not going to feel as anxious about it.
When you're dealing with, when you're advising parents who are trying to help anxious kids, what are the kind of things that you tell them to avoid? Because I assume there are natural instincts to do things like try to distract the child or to deny the source of the anxiety or any of those kind of things. Are they what you should be doing? Are there major pitfalls that people get into all the time?
I think often what parents try and do is try to fix the problem. And a lot of the problems or the challenges that children face are not necessarily fixable. And so oftentimes, if parents take over and do the thing for the child, they actually end up disempowering their child. So I think if your child is expressing anxiety about something, one of the things that we do want to help them do is just feel a confidence in themselves. So even if they don't have much belief in their ability to do the thing, it really helps when parents have a lot of belief in the child's ability to do the thing. So that's certainly an approach that we can take. I think you're right. You know, sometimes distraction can be just the right thing. Sometimes the distraction actually is akin to avoiding the situation. And of course, if a child ends up feeling anxious, perhaps say about going into school, they feel really nervous about going into school, they complain of a sick tummy, you know, we kind of half know that it's not a genuine gastroenteritis, but that it might be something different. We let them stay home. The child learns, of course, as soon as they're allowed to stay home, they feel a lot less anxious. And when they feel less anxious, then they're going to attribute that to the fact that they didn't have to go to school, which of course reinforced the idea that the only way to get rid of the anxiety is to not go to the school. So it is really helpful if parents can encourage kids not to avoid the thing that they're nervous about. And so that's a delicate balance sometimes, because of course, if we encourage them to do the thing, sometimes their anxiety can feel overwhelming for them. And we don't want that either. We don't want them experiencing panic. But so we have to, as I say, just be there and sometimes co-regulate with them, let them know, as I say, that we have a lot of belief in them, that we're not freaked out about the fact that this is a challenge for them, that we've great faith that they're going to be able to do it. And then we encourage them to do the thing. And hopefully, you know, our belief in them has also helped keep their anxiety at a low enough level that they're, as I say, not overwhelmed by it. And then they get the success of having achieved the thing as opposed to avoiding the thing.
David, I mentioned at the outset that you were doing a series of talks around the country. If people want to find out details on when they are on and how to attend, is there a website you'd recommend?
Yes, they can go to my own website, davidcoleman.ie, and then they can go /tour. So all the dates and venues that I'm going to be at, so I'm going to be literally, as you say, all around the country. I'm starting in Ennis on the 2nd of October, and then all the way through October, I'm pretty much everywhere in the country. So yeah, if people go to davidcoleman.ie/tour, they'll get all the dates, all the venues and links to be able to book tickets.
David, thank you. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.